Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor Terrell continues a series entitled, Back to the Book of Acts. In this 24th message, Pastor John begins by reading about the Antichrist and the false prophet in the book of Revelation, and boldly proclaiming that the coming world government and one world religion are nearer than we thought. He shares facts about vaccines, bioterrorism, and many secret events of the hidden world government. Then Pastor John launches in on today's message of how Saul, a Pharisee and Jew, was the worst persecutor of Christians until he was confronted by the risen Jesus and became a changed man. He became a firebrand for the Lord and boldly proclaimed the gospel he had once hated. God can do the same thing again. The people in the church need to pray and fast and stop focusing on trivial things. Every Christian needs to petition the Lord for the lost souls around them and not abandon them to die in their sins. Someday, when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, will He commend you or scold you? This message is entitled Part 24, Where is the Power of God? Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor Terrell as he begins today's message.
Praise God and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, May 25th. 2008. And the topic today is, where is the power of God? The message I'm going to share with you now is probably going to be one of the toughest ones I have delivered, and it has shaken me to my core, and I pray that God will use this message here in our church and also in other places where we heard on audio, that there will be changes in our lives. So before we get into the message, let's stand and pray. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you right now for these moments that you've given us. And I pray now, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to heal my voice. Father God, I had no problem coming to church today. And I rebuke that spirit right now, that foul spirit is attacking my throat right now. In the name of Jesus, loose me right now. And I command you to be bound, chained, and taken to prison by God's holy angels. Father God, open a word to us today. And I thank you for giving us a clarity of mind as we study the scriptures. And this I ask in Jesus' name. And those who are great said, Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to take you to the book of Revelation, where I'm going to start. And this will be in the 13th chapter. In order to understand my message today, we got to know that 1,970 years ago, approximately about 1,900 years ago, a little bit more, Jesus gave us the book of Revelation. And he there clarified that at the very end of times, there will be a world government and a world religion. This was prophesied by Jesus. And I want to read to you here, for we will begin in verse number 11. Chapter 13, Revelation 13:11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, He had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon or as a devil. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, which is also known as the Antichrist, whose deadly wound was healed. And he does great wonders, that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast which had a wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Verse 15 is a key verse. This was written when there was no electricity available on this earth. Electricity existed, but man had not discovered it. There was no radio, no televisions, no electric appliances whatsoever. Here now is the Apostle John trying to describe, and you've seen those big screens they have up on the sports stages, I mean sports events, and also in churches where the preacher's image or the event is shown on these big screens. Imagine now showing that to John 1,900 years ago, when they did not even have electricity, and he's simply saying now, there is an image, a picture, and not only is there a picture, but the picture can speak, and it is moving. I'm sure that people reading this at that time would simply say, if you stare at the picture on this side here or that side there, how can they speak? How can they be moving? You look at it, you understand. It was not understood in reality until after World War II, when television began to break in. Prior to that, we had the movie cameras and movies in the late 19th century. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Let me back up to verse 15. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. You go to any store today, go to a bank, and you have surveillance cameras. And in every place, parking lots and so on, you have these cameras. And there are people sitting, monitoring, recording, and watching everything that is happening. For this man to force people to worship him, and if they don't worship him, they will be killed, it was unexplainable in those days. But today you know this, that we are under surveillance in many places. I just went to a Home Depot store, and it was kind of airy. They have these globe, black globes, and they are placed quite frequently along the aisles in the front. As I looked up, it just hit me. And I told to the cashier, I said, you know, you are watched. And she said, yes, I know I'm watched all the time. Not only do they watch the customers, but they watch their tellers, their workers there, to see if they are behaving. And he curses all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond to receive a mark in the right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had a mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here's wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast or the Antichrist, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. We read that. Now, understand, Jesus said, sometimes in the future, this is going to happen. Up to now, we have said this as well, yeah, I know it's going to happen, but it will not be in my lifetime. Let me read to you now for my outline. I recently received 2 documentaries from a supporter in the ministry. I do not normally watch a lot of television and films, but for some reason I felt drawn to them. I am writing this because I believe this was a prophetic move of God to move me in a direction I have not been before. The first documentary I watched was In Lies We Trust, the CIA, Hollywood, and Bioterrorism by Dr. Leonard G. Horowitz. This disturbing film dealt with the origin of AIDS and the dangers of vaccines. I had written about these subjects as early as 1990 in the Dove magazines, taking a lot of flack for it over the years. What I wrote about 18 years ago is now part of history, and millions of people are dead around the world as the world government continues to use the United States in biological warfare research and distribution of lethal viruses hidden in different vaccines. The next day, as I watched Endgame by Alex Jones, it was like a second nuclear bomb going off in 2 days. This documentary detailed all the atrocities of the world government from the First World War up to the present time. I have written and spoken about these events as early as 1979, but the ramification of seeing the interviews with the people involved overwhelmed me. I knew the information presented was true, even if it was produced from a secular viewpoint. Sadly, both documentaries were just a presentation of facts with no hope or solution offered at the end. For more than 25 years, I have been studying prophecy and what's going to happen at the end. I have told you here many times and people listening to me that if I could take people and have them visit hell only 5 minutes, if I could have some kind of a gadget and dangle you over hell for 5 minutes, I will make you flaming evangelists. You would come back and you would simply say, I cannot play around anymore. I'm not going to waste any time. I'm going to be preaching. I'm going to be teaching. I'm going to be testifying. I'm going to tell people about this. When I watched these 2 movies on DVDs, I got white in my face. I felt like all blood had left me. Because I saw here, beginning World War I, documentaries, clips, documentation, mass graves. When you see it graphically, and I said, oh my God, oh God. And the impact came, and I simply felt, we are that close. We are where the world was in 1938. In 1938, they were just barely coming out of the Depression here. In Europe, they were building up, factories were humming, and the economy was coming back on. And people were having a party time, vacation time. They were talking about good times. Germany, at that time, was just a marvelous place. No unemployment. Everybody working. Everybody making money. Roads built. Plenty of food on the tables. People going on vacations, cruises. Germans going all over the place. And they simply felt, we have finally reached a time in history when we will be prosperous. 6 years later, city after city after city in Europe were nothing but heaps of gravel. 80 million people killed worldwide in one war. People try to preach the gospel in 1948. And people says, well, so what? He's coming. Jesus is coming. Won't happen in my lifetime. Now, I am simply saying this. I challenge you that are here. You that are listening by audio. These are two videos. Actually, not videos, but DVDs. That you have to see. It will change you. It will build a fire under you. Because I tell you what, time is short. Last week, I was here and I told you about the judgments coming down upon the world. And we were talking about twisters, tornadoes. Earlier this week, the Chinese government warned its people there's going to be another aftershock, and it came Saturday. It did more damage and further destruction. This week, Colorado, Oklahoma, a number of states again had massive amount of tornadoes coming down. Last week, these folks had homes, cars, places. Today, Sunday, they have nothing but rubbles. They have no clothes. They lost their china, everything. The question is, what is going to happen next week? How many more disasters will God have to do before the American churches and the American pastors begin to say, we need to change our message. We need to begin to preach repentance. I know that this church, we have repented. We try to do what God will. But we need to pray like you and I have never prayed before. This week, I want to share when it comes to prayer. It's been a long time since our ministry has been hit so hard financially. Today, we are paying the last portion of the rent. It took us 4 Sundays to come up with a rent. My wife and I have got just a little bit of money this month. We are way behind. And Tuesday, I was desperate. I said, God, we can't continue like this. And I want to share with you what happens when we pray and we mean what we pray. In intercessive prayer meeting Tuesday night, I laid it out and said, God, you know where it's at. And Father God, here we are. We are preaching a word. And for some reason, the devil is drying up our funds. Let me share how he's drying up our funds. We had a couple back east. I'm not going to give the state. And they were supporting us. Sent a check in. They got the music tape. They got the preaching tape. They were sharing it. They were just excited. And then suddenly, we got the note, don't send any more material. I thought they got offended. I found out 2 weeks ago what happened. The husband, 70 years plus, is now going to prison. I said, what? I didn't talk to the wife now. I talked to a friend. And the friend said this. He got caught in child pornography. They got his computer. He got involved in that. And here's a man listening to us, been a Christian for a long time, a soul winner. But the internet, Satan, trapped him. And he went to the worst of all pornography, little children. 70 years old, he's going to go away probably for 10, 15 years. The wife divorced him. That's how we lost support in that family. We had another family back in some place, and they were sending in checks every 2 weeks. And they said, we can't get enough for your ministry. We really appreciate everything you're doing. We can't wait to hear the sermons. Suddenly, they evaporated. And I believe that something similar, something of that nature happened to them. Not only are people dying, but people are getting involved in pornography. The internet is a blessing, it's a curse. You really got to be careful beyond the internet. Now, here I was. And I said to God, you show me, Lord, about web streaming in the fall. You show me what we need to do. We got up to $18,300. And then it stopped. And we are stuck now. The people from Belgium asked me, how are you doing on the web stream? We are waiting. I said, we are short $9,000. I can't shake it loose. Have you prayed? Have you prayed Tuesday? And I said, God, please move upon some people around the world that would right now just write a check. Put it in the mail. Tell them, Lord, we need the finances. And I got a letter today I want to share with you. It's a short letter. The people living in Hawaii. And it was written the same day that we prayed. It says, Pastor John and Ina Terrell, use as needed. The Holy Spirit spoke to my heart this morning and instructed me to do this. Aloha. And then they signed their names. The check, $1,000. What touched me here is more than $1,000. It is simply this, that my Heavenly Father heard my cry, moved on some precious people living in Hawaii that are listening to us. That lady, that husband got up and they wrote a check and said, the Holy Spirit said, I'm going to send this to you today. Saturday arrived. And this week, it was dry all week. We went to the post office box. People went there. We asked, what have they got? Nothing. What came in today? Nothing. Another day, a small check. And suddenly, a number of checks come in Saturday. What I share with you is this. We need to pray for the sick. We need to pray for salvation. But you see, if you as a church are not praying also for finances, we will lose this place. If he loses place, there's no web streaming. Do you understand why the devil is squeezing us with everything he has right now? Because he knows if we are cutting loose, he's going to get it. I'm back in the outline now. As I ponder these two films, I realize the material released in these two films must have been allowed with a purpose by the world government. Some of the clips could only have come from someone high up in leadership of these evil people. And the Holy Spirit showed me the following. Any dictator knows that if there is a total suppression, the population will eventually rise and unseat the dictator. The opposition must therefore be given opportunity to express itself under the control of the dictator. In this way, people are given the false feeling that something is done and the pressure is relieved. The people who produce these two movies are not necessarily aware that they are being used as pawns by the very evil they are exposing. This week, Hillary Clinton put her foot to the mouth. At the end of the week, she was in a meeting in a newspaper office, personal interview. They asked her, why are you staying so long in the race? And she gave a reason that her husband ran to June and so on. And then she said, now, Robert Kennedy got assassinated in the month of June, in California. And then she caught herself and kind of, if you watch, she kind of swallowed her words. And the newspaper editor then said, what do you mean by that? She said, I don't understand myself. And then she tried to backpedal, and she backpedaled since. More than 12 years ago, we printed it in the magazine, The Dove. We showed you 35 people that the Clintons had ordered to be eradicated. Airplane crashes, suicides, hanging, shootings, you name it. Rumors have been all spring that if Obama gets the nomination, he will get bumped off. A commentator said this, Hillary Clinton will not have spoken this unless she and Bill and others had talked about this privately. We are in for a very bumpy ride. My second point. Both movies hit the fact that there is a Jewish Zionist group at the top of the world government, deeply involved in the Kabbalah and worshiping Lucifer as their god. Their goal is very similar to what the films point out, but with the difference that Jerusalem is the seat of the world government, powered with all the Kabbalistic Jews at the top leadership. Both films omit the fact that the world government and its leaders are very religious and devout to their god, Lucifer. I went to bed Sunday night deeply disturbed, and in my prayer I told God I did not think it was fair for him to give the devil so much power, and then not to move against the devil. I told God I was disappointed, because I couldn't understand why a sovereign God would allow all these atrocities to happen. In one of these DVDs, there were 500 black men. I believe it was in Louisiana, but I could be wrong in the state. 1945 was around that time. And the government wanted to find out how to treat syphilis. And just like you've seen here a few weeks ago, they had a huge advertisement here in Sacramento that anyone that would like to be part of a medical experiment could sign up and get free health care, and they were going to monitor you for cancer and diabetes and a few other things. And all you had to do was to sign up. They put out a word and said that we need some people to sign up to study how we can fight syphilis. And they offered them some money. Notice now they got 500 black men, no whites. These 500 black men did not know that the American medical doctors, army doctors, would inject them with syphilis. And then withhold treatment on some of them. Because they want to see what happened to somebody that is not treated and what happened to those that are treated. It was not until late 1990 that the final truth came up. The United States apologized to these men, most of them are dead, and said, "We are sorry." 1956, our government decided to check out biological warfare. They selected the city of San Francisco. They flew over San Francisco, and they dusted San Francisco with a potent flu virus. The result was that tens of thousands of people suddenly took ill in San Francisco. And they had monitor stations. They wanted to see how effective the spreading was, what they could do, and so on, where the people lived when they got sick. A few hundred people died of the flu. It was 20 years before the government said, "We did it and we are sorry." Let me take you to Vacaville. Some of you drive by 80 Vacaville every day. It's a huge facility there, prison, state prison. It's a medical facility. For the last 50 years, person after person has been injected with all kind of different vaccines and diseases. It's been the biggest laboratory in the United States. And these men have no voice. It's just about 100, not even 100 miles away from us. All this is on the movies. And I've known this, but I have not seen the pictures of it. I've not seen the application of it. And I told God, I said, "God, I'm disgusted. I'm angry. Where is your power? I would like to see your power." God woke me up early the next morning. He reminded me that the conflict began when Lucifer rebelled and started a war in the heavens long before man was created. I remember the child of Lucifer. He sent us to the lake of fire. And the accusation that God was unrighteous. Man was created to prove that God is just and righteous. And if someone sins, it is not God's fault but the sinner. God was reminding me about the coming Antichrist, the false prophet, and the world government, which is stated in the book of Revelation. Jesus also told us that the last days will be as the days of Noah were. Last week, the British Parliament approved a new law stating that it is now legal in Britain to simply take animal genes and human genes and develop a hybrid of humans and animals using human embryos. that took place this week. Did you read about this in your American newspapers? If you read it, it was probably on page 36 below the obituaries. Hidden. I just watched a couple of parents that are taking the government to trial. I believe this is in the state of Oregon or Washington. And they simply had beautiful little babies. And they were maybe toddlers. And the society says you have to vaccinate them. And they took them in. They were healthy. And afterward, they became autistic children. And the parents said they were so lively, so excited, so intelligent, and now they are listless. They lost their brains. And you know why? Because the United States government has allowed the pharmaceutical industry to use mercury as a preservative in vaccines. Mercury, the most poisonous metal known. We now have 500,000 autistic children, and we are getting them by the thousands every year. And the pharmaceutical industry says, well, no, we are sure it is not our stuff. Mom and Dad, would you take your child and trust these butchers and say, I trust you okay? What would you say if your child would suddenly become retarded, hang their heads down and lose everything, and you now got a retarded child? What would you do? You would get so angry, you would explode. You would say, somebody gonna hang for this. But you see what's happening? The American people are docile. We are simply not taking it serious. Do we pray about this? No. I don't really believe we had a prayer meeting when people came in and prayed against the pharmaceutical industry. When we prayed against this, people say, oh, well, it's going to happen anyway. You know, it's part of prophecy. It's all right for you. But what about if it's your child that's going down the drain? You want some action. Back to the outline. Then God gave me good news. Jesus established church in a hostile environment, where the Roman Empire was in control of the known world, and the Jewish leadership hated Jesus and his followers and was bent on murdering them. The church, born on the day of Pentecost, did not fight the Jews and the Romans with physical weapons, but through the supernatural power of God. You saw Ted Kennedy. He now has brain cancer. Everybody weeping over him. But you know what? He was a leading senator fighting the law against partial birth abortion. He led that. I don't know if you understand what it means to have a partial birth abortion. I might not say the right words. But it simply says this, that you can abort a child even up to 9 months, as long as a portion of the baby is still inside the woman, you can suck the brain out. And what they do in these clinics is that they have a partial birth, they allow the head to come out, and then they stop the child. And then they stick a needle in, they turn on a vacuum thing, and they suck the brain out, the baby's dead. And then they bring the baby out and say, oh, this is just a fetus. They have killed tens of thousands of babies like that. Do you wonder why Ted Kennedy got cancer on his brain? It's inoperable. He got a death sentence. Someone has been telling him this. But you know, you can only sin so far. Every day my prayer is this: for God to put the rod of iron into every political leader on this earth, and for God to begin to remove corrupt, evil leaders. And I believe if we as a church, and I'm talking not only here, but around the world, if we begin to pray, God begin to remove some of these people, we're going to see more of them being dead and righteous men coming in. I pray for salvation with Ted Kennedy. But I think about the millions of people in hell because of legislation he has done since 1973. We are now up to, I believe, 80 million Americans are born since 1983. Where's the church? You know what? We are preoccupied. Oh, God, I don't get along with my husband. Oh, God, I got problems with my job. Oh, God, I need a better car. God, I need this, I need that. My toenails are not right. You know, we got big issues. God, my toaster just got fried. How can I live without a toaster this morning? God is saying, who's weeping for the children of Rachel? Remember when Herod killed the children in Bethlehem? And they said the Bible, and they wept for the children of Rachel. God has given me a vision of revival last year. And as a result, I was told to start preaching on the subject back to the book of Acts. My next sermon, which is today, would have been on the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. But God wanted me to go into a deep understanding of how the conversion of Saul relates to the end times. He made sure that these two documentaries were given to me before I prepared this message. Here's what the Holy Spirit showed me. God decided to blind and immobilize the worst leader the Jews had in their persecution of the church of Jesus, make him a chief leader in the Christian church and a prolific writer of the New Testament. With prayer and fasting, God can move again and convert the worst of the worst in the world government, and make him a flaming evangelist for Jesus Christ. Jesus prophesied he would call out 144,000 men from all the tribes of Israel and have them go up against the devil in the last days. Turn with me to the book of Revelation chapter 7. It's the book of Revelation chapter 7. I want to ask you this question. I really want us today to go deep into our souls. Prayer meeting. You know why I'm here? I can't come to prayer meeting. I'm too tired. Oh, yeah? I'm tired, too. When you and I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and he looks on us, and he says, now, I couldn't say, you were not in Washington, D.C. You didn't live there. But I had planned to use you to pray as an intercessor, to pull down the strongholds, but I couldn't get you to the prayer meeting because you were too tired. It was too far to drive. Grandma was coming to town or whatever excuse we had. And then God is going to point out to maybe 5 million people and saying, You see, those people, they died and went to hell because I couldn't get you to pray. I want you to think about that. We might not get any amens right now. But I want you to think about it. That's how important your prayers are. But you know what most people say? Oh, that's just a prayer meeting. It's in the prayer meeting that events are shaped. It's in prayer meetings that the Holy Ghost begins to move upon this world. And that's why the devil says, I don't want in prayer meetings. And we stay away because we got such issues. God help us as a nation. In Revelation chapter 7, we read from verse number 1. And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel descending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard a number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. The tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. A few weeks ago in Israel, some Messianic Jews had gone to a city of about 35,000 people. And they had handed out 35,000 New Testaments in Hebrew. Door to door. And when the mayor of that city heard that, he called upon the rabbis and said, tell all your students to go from house to house and collect all these New Testaments. Bring them to the public square and we're going to burn them. And they did. And the rabbis had the yeshiva students and the students in the different synagogues to go and pick out these New Testament people, gave them back. And just like the Nazis used to burn books, so the Jews do. And they put them in a big pile. And they burned them there in the name of their God. They think it's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but the God they serve is Lucifer. You know what God said? He said this 1,900 years ago. I'm going to pick myself 144,000 people of all the tribes of Israel. 12,000 Jews and the rest of them different tribes. He said, I'm going to send them up against the Antichrist system. God is going to do something great. God wants to begin to work now. I recommend that you get these two movies we talked about today and view them. Our marching orders are clear. We have to prepare the way for the Lord and present Jesus to the mass of the world who are dying in their sins. Now turn to the book of Acts, chapter 9. The book of Acts, chapter 9. And I As I was going to preach on this, I thank God that I got these videos, well, not videos, but DVDs first. And I want to talk to you about now the power of God manifested. Saul of Tarsus was full of hate for Jesus and disciples. He was trying to catch the Jewish believers that fled from Jerusalem and bring them back to be tried in court and killed. We read from Acts 9, 1 through 2 right now. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter at the sight of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letter to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Now turn in the book of Acts chapter 26, write this scripture in. It's a bonus script. You want to have that on your outline. The book of Acts, chapter 26. If you read from verse number 9 and down. And this is Paul speaking now. I verily thought to myself that they ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Which thing he also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints that are shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, torture, and being exceedingly mad against them. Look at the word now, mad, not anger, but mad. I persecuted them, even unto strange cities. Whereupon as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests. Paul, actually here his name was Saul, was a nasty man. Nasty. Do I have any experience of Jewish persecution? I'm going to speak out now for the first time in 25 years and share it publicly some of the things we went through. Between 1971 and 1983, we had extensive works in Europe, particularly in Sweden. And we had built up an organization over there. We had thousands of cassettes and books being sold and so on. And we traveled. And then one day, I got word from the man that was distributing our cassettes. There were cassettes back in 1983. And he said this, I need to meet with you. I'm scared. He said, I don't dare to meet with in Sweden. He said, I don't want to meet any place. He said, I want us to drive to Copenhagen. You drive to Copenhagen, that's Denmark. And I drive there. We meet at the airport where we sit in a public place. My wife, myself, two of my other people, we met with this man. He was shaking his booth. And he simply said this, I have to renounce you. He said, I have been getting phone calls. And this man wrote the letter, actually told me on the phone, I have come from Jerusalem to deal with John S. Terrell. You're number one. You stop all distribution. You take out a ad in the newspapers, and you denounce him publicly. If not, we will kill your children. And then for the next week, every night, between 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, their phone rang. Daytime, nights, and voices would say to this wife and also the children, we're going to come and kill you. This man, I said, well, I forgive you right now. Thank you for telling me. And sure enough, that what he did. The vast organization we had rolled up in the same situation. People getting fights. There was a Lutheran priest that had the office in Jerusalem. He took my Bible study book and went to Menachem Begin, then the Prime Minister of Israel. And he showed him and said, this man is exposing the Kabbalah and Jews in Sweden. We need to deal with him. And it was decided then that I was going to be driven out of that country. For some reason, I never got any personal attacks. God preserved me alone. But all the other people had phone calls, visitations, harassment, loss of this, loss of that. And they all melted. Some of them died. Others simply could not take the heat. Let me tell you this. You cross the Jewish leadership and you're toast in the flesh. It takes the supernatural. Look upon our last newsletter we had. You saw John McCain at the Wailing Wall with little Yarmulke on, standing there praying with his good friend, Joseph Lieberman, a Jewish senator. You better believe it. John McCain is in cahoot with the Jewish leadership. Obama, Clinton, it doesn't matter who it is. If you want to be elected any place, you got to be in good standing. Support Israel. Support anything that is Jewish. If you don't, you're anti-Semitic. You ask a question, you're anti-Semitic. But here's the good news. God said, I'm going to take the worst of the worst. And I'm going to convert him to me. Now we go back to Acts 9, verses 3 and 4. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell from the earth, and he heard a voice said to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Jesus, coming himself and arresting and talking to Saul. No man can resist the power of God. As evil as Saul was, he found himself trembling as he realized he had been fighting Almighty God. Verses 5 and 6. And Saul said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told you what you must do. I want to ask you a burning question. We know Jews run Hollywood. Every studio, every network is run by Jewish people. Banks, television, newspapers, everything. When was the last time that you and I had a little prayer meeting? And we took some of these guys by the name and brought them before God and begin to pray for our salvation. We haven't done that, have we? We simply say, oh, we don't like those guys. But you know, just like their soul. What about if we pray for a guy like Rupert Murdoch? When was the last time we prayed for him? Can you imagine if Rupert Murdoch gets saved? But you see, we don't pray. Why? You tell God. His soldiers became speechless. Verse number 7. And the men that journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no man. And Saul had been reduced to a blind man and had to be led to the city of Damascus. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Now we come to fasting and prayer. Since Saul was a Pharisee, he knew that he needed to fast and pray, since his entire theological understanding had just been wiped out. Look at verse number 9. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. Keep your finger there. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 26. Write that into your outline. It's a bonus scripture. Acts, chapter 26. And you pick it up in verse 13 this time. And Paul said himself, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the bright of the sun, shining round about me, and them that journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking to me, saying, in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecute you me? It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. And I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared unto you for this purpose, to make you minister and a witness both of these things which you have seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto you. I believe there are Jewish leaders today that are radical, Kabbalistic Jews that are going to be apostles in the last days. You and I are going to birth them in. How do you birth them in? Prayer and fasting. He said, I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you minister and a witness both of these things which you have seen, and those things in which I appear to you, delivering you for the people and for the Gentiles unto whom I now send you, to open our eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and for the power of Satan to God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. God supernaturally moved upon Saul and Ananias back in Acts 9:12 now. Let's read, first of all, we're going to read from verse number 10. And there was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I'm here, Lord. And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas, one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prays. And I seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting a hand on him, that he might receive his sight. How can I describe this? Well, let's say that tonight you have a vision, and God speaks to you and say, let me pick on somebody else. Last week I picked on Thomas. Soteris, I want you tomorrow to buy an airline ticket and fly to Pakistan. And I want you to go, I'm going to show you where Bin Laden lives. And I'm going to have you to walk to his house. And going to lay hands on him and drive out the demons. And get that man saved. What do you think Soteris will say? We don't know any worse terrorist than Bin Laden, do we? At least that's what we are told. He's a fanatic Muslim. This is the same with Ananias. At this time, Ananias did not know anything. And God said, you go to that man's house. That was death. He had soldiers there. He would kill Christians. And God said, go. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil is done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Let it drop into your soul right now, deep into your spirit. The worst of the worst was going to be the Apostle Paul. Paul was going to write his epistles, Romans, Ephesians, Galatians. Do you understand this? Do you understand the impact of this? You and I are saved today because Martin Luther had a revelation from God 500 years ago. And how did Martin Luther get saved? He read the book of Romans. 1,400 years after Paul had written Romans. And the church was dead in sins. God raised up a Catholic priest and a monk. Put his nose in the book of Romans. Put the power of the Holy Ghost on him. And he was saved. You and I are saved because Martin Luther read the book of Romans. And Romans was written because Paul, Saul, got saved. Because the early church prayed and fasted. You understand that? Now, let's put some more oomph into our prayer and believe that God can do things. Obedience. Look at verse number 18 now. Well, let me read this first. Ananias went his way and entered the house and put his hand and said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto you in the way as he came, has sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as he had been scathed, and received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, food, he was strengthened. There was Saul certain days with his disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. This is what you and I need. We need a little bit of Holy Ghost fire. We need to get excited. But you see, you can't say, okay, now, Lord, I want to get excited. How do you get excited? You've got to have a little meeting with Jesus. Where do you meet him? In the Word. On your knees. Prayer. Fasting. And in the Word. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed that which called on his name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. Now, if you are a chicken, you don't belong in this church. If you're an eagle, you belong in the church. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be threats. And if you are a chicken, you won't last in this church. You will simply get the fear. And you will take office as well, you know, I can't stand that heat. This church, and you're not listening to me by audio, around the world right now, it's going to take eagles. Men and women that would say, So be it. Some persecution, I don't care. But I'm going to let the word come out. And we're going to lift up Jesus Christ. It's going to take men and women of faith to move. Not cowards. Saul was not offended when he came to Jerusalem, was not trusted by the apostles. Look at verse 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he assayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of and believed not that he was a disciple. Now, Saul didn't say, oh, poor me. They don't like me. I'm going to go home. Offense, offense, offense. He gets so easily offended. But you know what? Saul realized, they don't know me. But Barnabas, you realize this? If there wouldn't have been a Barnabas, there wouldn't have been the book of Romans. You will now would not be here today. What did we read about Barnabas? He did not become a flaming evangelist. He did not have a lot of stuff written about him. He had a few things. But Barnabas' job was to take care of Saul and get Saul going. Some of you are a Barnabas. Some of you are to support. Some of you are doing different things. But Barnabas took him, brought him to the apostles and declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the way. They just spoke to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out of Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him. These unsaved Jewish people are wonderful. They always try to murder someone. They talk about Jesus. But when they get saved, then they get saved. Which were the brethren, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then the churches had rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria were edified and walked in the fear of the Lord. And in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. What can we learn from this? My closing scripture, Matthew chapter 19. Matthew, the 19th chapter. You pick it up in verse 26. But Jesus beheld them and said to them, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. But Jesus beheld them and said to them, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. God has called us to a worldwide ministry. And God is going to help us with our finances. Right now, our finances are in the basement. But God can bring them up. I believe that what we need to do as believers in Christ, we need to say this, Father God, my prayer life is bankrupt. I believe we need to increase our prayer 100%. We need to simply, Father God, I have never been a prayer warrior. I've never been much of a praying man. But Lord, I can see right now we need to pray. Let me ask you this dumb question. Let me take it to war situation. And you have these men are up on the front line fighting. And they're using their machine guns and so on. And you know, you can only have so many bullets with you. Now, how is important is the guy that runs the ammunition up to the guy that shoots? Will you say that ammunition runner, you know, he has a lousy job. You know, man, the guy that sits and shoots is important. Let him run out of bullets. And then you finally report the runner is that brings out fresh ammunition. A prayer warrior is an ammunition runner. You're the one that brings up the ammunition to the evangelists, the pastors, and all the other people so they have ammunition, the Holy Ghost power. But you know what we do? Oh, it's just a prayer meeting. I'm tired. Too far to drive. Can't handle this. You know what? So you drop the ball. And what happened? The line is overrun. It's pushed back because they run out of bullets. But you get in the drift. God showed me that regardless how dark or hopeless the situation looks, God can and will open a way if we are walking in faith and doing His will. With God, nothing is impossible. Some of you are dragging your feet on deliverance. You know, we says, well, you know, someday they put you in a grave. And you yell out from under the coffin, under the lid, saying, wait a minute, I didn't get delivered yet. And that's when the sin says, down and threw the dirt on you. You're done. When are we going to get started? I think right now, when God told me to begin to preach for the book of Acts, this is a point we're going to get to. Let me read again, Matthew 19:26. But Jesus beheld them, said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. I believe that every person that came here today came with a purpose. God knew exactly what He was going to have me preach on today. And He got you out of bed. He got you out of wherever you came from. And He got all the people here. You are listening by audio today. It is not that by accident you hear this message. And God is speaking to you that are in this building right now. He's speaking to you outside this building. Are you willing to be an ammunition carrier? To simply say, Lord, teach me to pray. I don't care if I'm half dead. I'm going to pray. You know, I have been in prayer meetings. Blessed clean to the hearts. And I had people, you know, we carried on for maybe an hour, 2 hours, and I hear this brother go over here, you know. He just took off. But you know what? That's all right. When it comes his turn, he will pray. I've been to all our prayer meetings. We would just lay down, had matches with us, blankets, and we would take turns. We would sleep for a little while, get up and pray, sing a song, dance, pray some more. We carried on all night long. It's okay if you're tired, come to a prayer meeting. I will personally wake you up when it's your turn to pray. I will say, now your turn, go, go, go. And I know you can pray then, you say. Now it says, okay, thank you very much. Now lean back in your chair and take a snooze. Now you're tired. You get a drift. With men this is impossible. With God all things are possible. As I give the invitation today, here's what the invitation is all about. I think you heard me loud and clear today. I think that everybody knows exactly where you're at. I'm going to tell you. See the chairs over here to my right? Your left. That's a prayer altar. You can go there and talk to God. Why do I ask you to get out of your seat? Because sometimes people say, well, you know, I don't want anyone to see what I'm doing. Sometimes we need to make a public statement. It doesn't mean that you're a great sinner. It simply means you want to talk to God. I'm going to have my elders up here. And they're going to pray with those that like that prayer for sickness, strength, power. If you want to confess something, whatever it is, they're going to be here and pray with you. But this is not your turn, your chance to reach out to Jesus. And say, Jesus, count me in. Count me in. Let's stand. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you right now. And oh God, what a sermon I preached today, Lord. This will guarantee me a place when they hang the first month, when they come down to the Antichrist. But Lord, I'm thankful that you gave me boldness. Father God, I was born a coward. I was a coward for many years. And then you took the fear out of me, put your boldness in me. And I pray right now, let your Holy Spirit fall upon these people here right now. Let your fire fall, Father God, in this house and around the world. Every person hear my voice right now. And drive out the spirit of fear, intimidation. And let the boldness, let the Holy Ghost come in. And Father, I pray, call men, women, boys and girls right now to stand up and say, I want to be a prayer warrior. I'm going to pray more. Oh God, I thank you right now for raising up an army of ammunition bearers so that when we begin to shoot, we will have something to shoot with. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You come as God's been leading you, and you talk to Him as you're praising the Lord.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5, 7-8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says, "Today is the day of salvation." Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You have been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the 24th part in the series Back to the Book of Acts and was entitled Where is the Power of God? Pastor John began by reading about the Antichrist and the false prophet in the book of Revelation and boldly proclaimed that the coming world government and one world religion are nearer than we thought. He shared facts about vaccines, bioterrorism, and many secret events of the hidden world government. Then Pastor John launched in on today's message of how Saul, a Pharisee and Jew, was the worst persecutor of Christians until he was confronted by the risen Jesus and became a changed man. He became a firebrand for the Lord and boldly proclaimed the gospel he had once hated. God can do the same thing again. The people in the church need to pray and fast and stop focusing on trivial things. Every Christian needs to petition the Lord for the lost souls around them and not abandon them to die in their sins. Someday, when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, will He commend you or scold you? This message is available on CD and cassette, and when ordering, ask for sermon number 1135. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number is 1-888-708-3232. That's 1-888-708-3232. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.